Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 2 of Yoked Up. We are Chuck and Cassie, and we have a very good conversation to have tonight.
Yeah, I'm excited about this conversation. I was excited about last week, but I'm excited to kind of deep dive into this. We are calling this one the turning point. We are kind of going to break down what it looked like to, I guess, really just see God become the center of our marriage, where things started to shift and where the realization that God had become the center of it. So I think it's something that a lot of people don't talk about because it is a very unique thing to go from an unequally yoked marriage to a equally yoked marriage.
Yes.
I remember having a conversation with my mom and dad once she became saved. I'm like, man, I don't even know who he is anymore. Like, he's, you know, talking about the Bible and quoting, you know, things he heard. And it was just, you know, unique for me. So I just kind of want to, I think it's a good idea to kind of focus an episode on this because I think it's not going to look the same for everyone. It's always going to look different and it's not going to be an overnight thing. So I think kind of walking through what it looked like for us and how it kind of, you know, came to life in our marriage and how God brought that, you know, to be what it is. So I guess I'll let you kind of kick it off, Chuck, and kind of what you felt the story and journey look like for you.
Well, you know, I think the main turning point that I found when we became, as you'd say, equally yoked, that, you know, God was in both our hearts and was leading our way, was we had a situation come up and we knew that, you know, we came together and was like, you know, that's an attack. You know, we were able to pray together about it. And that's when, you know, it was like the turning point of knowing that we were on the same page when it came to how we wanted to make God our central focus and come together in those terms.
I think just to shed some light on what Chuck's talking about, it was a pretty devastating situation we were going through, and it was a very like personal attack.
Yeah, it was pretty rough.
Yeah, and it was from someone, you know, close that we love and care about, and it was a really difficult time. And you know,
it was a all of a sudden,
yeah,
thing. It wasn't something that seemed like it built up. It just was like, here one moment, yeah, and done.
I remember talking to my dad and him immediately referencing a story in the Bible. And he was like, this is what this is. And like, I think for me, it was like, wow, an aha moment. But it was the aha moment, obviously, for you, but for me as well, that like we could sit down and talk about how we were going to let that affect our lives and, you know, the choices we were going to make together. Because I think there were choices that could have been made that would have brought a very different outcome, and we were able to talk about it and really just say that we were gonna, you know, let God have it, and you know, we were just gonna continue forward.
Yeah, you know, and the fact that we were able to sit down and talk about it together was really when it was understood that we were completely in this together and agreeing on how we wanted to have our family and our life center around Jesus. Mm-hmm. So,
well, why don't you talk a little bit about fight night? Because I know that you had mentioned that has been a really big play into, you know, you taking the position you have.
My father-in-law, who's the pastor of our church, one of them, started this thing called fight night, and we set up like a boxing ring and we have rounds, and throughout the week the guys that we call trainers send us, you know, verses and a subject and then verses on that subject for us to really look into in the Bible and get into the Word. And so we come together once a week and we have like three to four rounds every week. And it has really helped in my prayer life to really give it all, like give everything to Jesus, and which has also brought us closer because, you know, you've always been religious, and the fact that we're starting to become same mind is really really important.
That was a good timing, I guess, that came about. I don't know if you remember this, but this was probably shortly after you got saved, or maybe even right before, but I know it had to have been right after you got saved, I guess, because before you were saved, it kind of felt like a little odd to talk about how I felt sometimes, like, it kind of felt odd to share scripture or things like that. I would obviously share stuff with you, but sometimes it just felt a little weird because you didn't believe what I believed.
Right.
But I remember I was doing a devotional and reading, and I came across Proverbs 21:9, and it says, "Better to live on a corner of the roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife."
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what that meant, so I Googled what it meant, and quarrelsome really just refers to like a nagging, argumentative,
combative
type. Yeah. And so I remember just being in tears thinking, oh my gosh, like, and this I think was shortly after we had went to, this was shortly after I believe we went, when we went to the Holy Land tour down at the Passion Play in Eureka. We went down there and we did the Holy Land tour, and they had different like buildings and, mm-hmm. and things you could tour. Cool. It was super neat.
Super cool.
But I remember they had a house mm-hmm. built that they said was, you know, appropriate for the time period. And they said like 9 to 10 people would sleep in there or whatever.
Right.
And I remember reading this verse and thinking, oh my gosh, like, it's literally saying that it's better to sleep on the corner of that roof. And this was a very tiny house that they showed us. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, like, that is just so heart-wrenching to think that it's better to sleep on the corner of that roof than to be in a house with a wife who's nagging and this, that, and the other. And I think it's so easy to fall into that in day-to-day life. But, I mean, I was, like, in tears. I was broken by that. I felt so convicted. I don't know that I had felt that convicted.
I do remember that, because when I got home, you apologized to me.
No, I came out into the living room.
Yeah.
I was in tears, and I was like, I am so sorry. Like, I mm-hmm. do not want you to ever feel like you have to go sleep on the roof.
Yeah.
And that it's better to sleep on the roof than share a home with me. And I was so convicted by that.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt, you know, odd to share that with you, but I also was like, you know, if he's a believer, like, I should be able to share this with you. And I think that's the stuff that I feel like is one of the reasons, like, I felt so led to have this podcast and talk about it and things like that, because, like, I feel like when, you know, I was a believer and you weren't, like, I can mention stuff here and there, but, like, to feel like I could come to you, like, with my conviction and say, here's this Bible verse, here's what it's saying, like, I'm so sorry, like, I don't want to be that wife to you, I don't want to live in that household with you, like, I don't want to create that environment with you. To be able to say that to you and know that you're hearing it and know that you're understanding where I'm coming from, and I, you know, I think before you were a believer, I probably wouldn't have been able to say that to you and bring that to you.
Right.
It probably would have been something I would have just done in private and kind of faced on my own, but to bring it to your attention and be like, hey, like, the Lord's telling me this, like, I'm convicted by this, I don't want to create this environment for you. I think it was for me the first time I felt like, hey, the Lord's speaking to me and I'm bringing this to you, and I want you to know that I'm apologetic for it. I want to make sure that that's not something you experience, and I want you to know the Lord's working on me for you.
Right.
And I think that was really an interesting, and for me, that was probably the turning point for when I realized that I could talk to you about some stuff, and this really was going to look a lot different than it had for the last six and a half, something like that. So I think for me, like, it was like, wow, like, this really does look different. Hmm. This isn't the same marriage that I'm used to.
Yeah. No, and the fact that you came to me with that, and, you know, it really, I mean, it also showed me that we were having leaps and bounds of growth between in our marriage with, you know, putting God first, mm-hmm. and, you know, letting him, you know, be our protector. And, but yeah, I mean, I remember that when you did that, because I was
sobbing. Yeah, I
was very taken back, because I was like, what?
Well, it was like coming out of nowhere too. I just like come out of the living room. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I didn't want you to sleep on the roof.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not.
But I mean, I think that for me was a really big turning point for me. And, you know, I think the other thing to just really bring to light is this has probably been the roughest 6 months of our marriage that mm-hmm. we've had our entire marriage.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. We've
been under attack
a lot.
I think that, you know, as Christians, we think, oh, you know, everything's going to be hunky-dory. We love Jesus and this, that, and the other. And sometimes I think that that's what the society paints as a picture, too. And we have been under attack. I feel like the Satan has a picture of us, and we are, like, top of his priority every day.
Most wanted.
Yep. I feel like that is a big thing we're facing. And I think Satan likes divorce. Satan wants to separate what God's brought together.
Absolutely, because then, you know, I mean, it's one of those where you get married and, you know, it's a promise to each other and to God of the love and everything. But if he can split that up, you know, seek, kill, and destroy. That's his motive. Like, that's, yeah. And if he can destroy something that God's built, then that's one up on him. And that's why, out of most things, he attacks marriage.
Yeah. And like my dad says all the time, you know, marriage,
smart man.
My dad says all the time, marriage is truly a death. Like, and he said he always refers to it as death. And he says it's even harder to grieve than a death, because the person's right there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so true. And I think,
because you're killing off your singleness, you're killing off your selfishness, you're killing off, you know, you're putting your desires first and things like that. As for, you know, because now it's for the other person.
Yeah. And I think it's just, I think for me, the last 6 months, one of the biggest things that I just have to keep reminding myself is that, you know, God has to be the center of all the big things that we face. You know, I just have to keep reminding myself it's an attack and it's going to pass. But if I were going to sit here and say that I mean, I'm obviously so thankful you got saved, and I'm glad we're going to heaven together, babe. Right. But, you know, it's been brutal.
You know, I talked to you, the finite guys, about it. I said, you know, there's some days where I just want to be like, if this is what it's like to be a Christian, then maybe I'd just go back to not being a Christian. Cause like I was never under attack. It's because I was on, you know, devil wasn't looking at me.
Yeah. But they, you know, they say, yeah, he wants to, like you said, kill, steal, and destroy. Like you're in the kingdom, you're doing work now. And mm-hmm. People don't know you personally, you're such a social person. And it's kind of funny, because I've had a lot of people be like, wow, he's so bold with his faith, I want to be like that. And it's so true. And I think as Christians who've been in it for the long run, sometimes I feel like we lose that sense of boldness. But it is very interesting. And
you just get in a groove. Like Christians who've been doing it for a long, they just get in a groove. Like, yeah, they just kind of, they're just steady. Like, you know, unlike your dad is the bold. If bold had a picture, it would be of your dad now. But I think that's a problem with a lot of them. As a new Christian, from my point, like you like to say, as an outside perspective,
yeah,
is that it seems like a lot of people, a lot of Christians really get into just the groove. They're in their Bible, they're, you know, they're praying, they're going to church, they're, you know, helping out, but they're not stepping out to be like, hey, I believe, let me witness to you or anything like that. You know, it's part of just being like, you're just in a groove.
Yeah.
You don't think about adding on. Like, your dad's constantly just out there.
Yeah, but I think it's interesting because your boldness has, now I'm like examining myself and like, man, I need to start talking about more. I need to do this more. But yeah, I mean, I definitely think it's been a challenging 6 months. Like, that's why I made the joke that even if no one listens to the podcast, this is probably just therapeutic for us, because it's been a rough go around. Just in general, like our marriage, we've faced a lot of things that a lot of people probably don't face in their first few years of marriage. But yeah, I mean, for me, I think that was really the turning point for me. And I think,
no, that's a good.
Yeah. And I think, like, if I was examining some other things, like, it is really just from my perspective, it is very interesting to go from having a husband who doesn't believe to all of a sudden is now quoting you things out of the Bible. And it's like, whoa.
Yeah. You know, but you know, you said the other day that I'm very observant, and me and your dad's been talking for a long time. You know, him always telling me about Jesus, giving me all, you know, because he's the bold one, you know, so he never shies from talking about Jesus.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious to buy chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Well, me and him have always talked about it, our whole marriage. And like I said, you know, he told me one time, he goes, I'm taking you to heaven with me, kicking or screaming. I don't care, you're going with me. And he told me the other day, he goes, well, I'm sure glad I don't have to drag you now.
I also think we should mention that this was back when you first got saved. Chuck did not tell me he was saved.
Oh yeah, I was actually gonna mention that, but I forgot to.
Yeah, so Chuck didn't even mention. About a month.
Yeah.
Okay, so we went to church one day, fought the whole way there. The whole way to church, and we got to church, and I was like, I'm not getting out of this car. I refuse to go into that church building with you. And I refused. You went inside.
I did.
And I guess maybe you talked to my dad, or
yeah, because I mean,
anytime something happens,
not to mention it again, but the fact that I don't have parents to talk to.
I don't know that you've actually ever mentioned that on here yet.
Oh, well, I thought we talked about my parents being passed.
Maybe.
Anyways, my parents were passed. But the fact that I don't really have somebody to go talk to, he's like the only one I can go talk to.
So anytime something happens, like with me and Chuck, we're arguing or whatever, Chuck reaches out to my dad. So my poor dad.
So do you.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. So my poor dad has got in the middle of, if we're arguing about a slice of bread,
right?
I'm like, he said this, and you're like, she's acting like this.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and but no, he's really helped.
But you went inside, and I guess maybe talked to him. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I talked to him when I first walked in, told him what was going on. He was preaching, so like, he's like, well, we can talk about it later or something.
Well, he came out to the car.
Oh, did he? So yeah. I didn't know that, because I went and sat down.
So he came out to the car, and he's like, what's going on? And I'm like, Dad, I'm done. I can't do this. I'm not coming into the church. And my dad was crying. I mean, he was like, Cassie, Chuck is really changing, and he's really doing some stuff, and you're under attack and you don't know it and you can't see the bigger picture, but you really need to like give him some grace and really just realize what's happening here. This is Satan, and you don't know it, but this is Satan. And I'm like, whatever. Like, you're just on his side. Like, you, oh, I'm sorry. You're just, you love him more than you love me. He's like, the Lord's doing some big things in Chuck Cassie, and you really need to give him some grace. And I think you need to get inside. I'm not going to make you, but I think you need to go inside. And I'm like, fine, whatever. And then I sat there and I thought, no, I'm going to go inside. And I go inside, and I think you and me were both pretty emotional during that service. And
yeah,
I think it was after the service you told me, you said, I didn't want to say it to you because I didn't want you to think.
Well, because after the service, I walked up to him and he goes, is now the time? And I was like, yeah, it is. And so I got saved, you know, we did the prayer, we did the whole, you know, yes, I give my life to God, and I call him my savior, my Lord. And we stood there and he prayed over me for a couple minutes, gave me a hug. And then we just kind of parted ways for a minute, cause I think we're both getting emotional about it.
I'm getting emotional right now.
And, it was, you know, I'm a dude, like,
yeah,
right.
I'm not crying. Yeah. You're crying.
You're crying. I'm not crying. And
I yawned.
Yeah. And so we kind of like walked away, and I just kind of went back and sat by you. And
it was later that day or after the service. I remember you specifically saying, I didn't want to tell you because I didn't want you to think that I got saved.
No, that's not true, because it was at least a couple. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was at dinner like a couple weeks later, but it wasn't that night. It was not that night.
No, maybe you're right. But
because I didn't say anything for a while, because even your dad was like, well, why don't you tell her?
Yeah.
I was like, because I got saved the day we had that huge fight. And I don't want her to think that I did it just because of that.
And that's what you said to me. You said, when you did tell me, you said, I didn't want to tell you because I didn't want you to think that
I'm trying to appease
you. I'm trying to, like, this had nothing to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
This was my walk with the Lord, and I didn't want you to think that. And while I was a little bummed you didn't tell me and kind of left me in the dark, I also understood where you were coming from, because that is a private thing, and that was something you needed to deal with. But, I mean, you cannot tell me that was not Satan in that car with us making that happen, because 100%. Satan knew. It makes me emotional because Satan knew that the Lord was getting another soldier, and he wanted to kill that. He wanted to take that away, and he didn't want you to go in that church building.
He wanted you to get so upset that you just say, take me home.
Yeah, he didn't want you there. I mean, I have just chills about it, because you can't tell me that wasn't, you know, Satan.
Yeah, that was Satan in that car, but it was the Lord telling me, like, oh, you don't want to go in? Fine, sit here. I'm going in.
Right. It breaks my heart, too, because it's so easy, without even knowing it, to let Satan control you, you know, and
his tricks of the trade. He knows how to hide his intentions, thinking that it's our intentions.
Right. And I think that's why, you know, I bring up, because I want everyone else to know. I want you to know, if you're going through this, you're not alone. Those attacks are real. And
they're hard.
They're hard, and you have to be on guard, and you have to realize that God is the center, and he's going to get there, and you're going to have challenges. But once you get there, you know, and you can do it as a team, and you can be like, no, we have come through a lot of stuff this year.
Well, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, they say, you know, you ask God for courage, he's not going to give you courage. He's going to give you the opportunity to be courageous. You know, if, you know, you ask God for strength, he's not just going to make you strong. He's going to give you opportunities to grow.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing, is like, when you're, those attacks are for a reason, because they're helping you grow into the person that God is intending you to be. You know, if he just gave you everything and just was like, yep, you're the strongest, toughest, the smartest, then, you know, you're not learning anything. That's what those attacks are for. And we just always have to keep our focus on, it's God's molding us into the soldiers of his kingdom. And he's molding you into the person that you're meant to be.
It's honestly just like us sitting here talking about it. It's like society wants you to paint this picture that everything's perfect. I mean, you look on social media, you'll see the highlights of everyone's life. And
very few people are putting their darts out.
I would be lying if I said the last 6 months since you got saved have been
easy peasy.
Because they have been hard. They've been rough. Like, so I think it's just good to be aware of that and good to just know that you're fighting the good fight. And, you know, at the end of the day, it'll be worth it. But it is not, you know, you're not going to get saved and your marriage isn't going to be perfect rainbows. And it's not going to be the best, you know, you're going to have trials, you're going to have tribulations. But I think it's seeing those beautiful moments where you realize like, wow, God is really the center of our marriage. Mm-hmm. And now you and me can have conversations. We just had one before we went on before we started recording. We are dealing with, you know, infertility and it's not easy. And yesterday I spent my whole afternoon just devastated. I just told you before we started the podcast, it's okay. God has a plan. You know, we'll figure it out.
We're on his timing.
Yeah. It's just interesting to now be able to have those conversations and have that and have the reassurance. I know that you've always been reassuring, but I know that's not what everyone, you know, I know that I could say to you before, like, this happened years ago. So we're both in real estate. And I mean, I was on a real estate team. If you don't, you know, if you're not familiar with real estate, there's people who work on teams, there's solo agents, you know, I was on this team and I was grinding, working really hard and just constantly defeated that it felt like I was always the one grinding from the bottom and other people were getting handouts. I just felt like I was doing everything I could, begging to be seen, and no one saw the value in me.
Yeah.
And I remember having a conversation with you, and this was years before you got saved. Mm-hmm. At this point, we had been married a couple years. And I remember I, you know, sought after the Lord, and I remember having a conversation with you, and I was, you know, hey, I've decided, like, I'm no longer going to look for my team leaders to provide for me. I'm going to look for the Lord to provide for me. And you were like, right on, whatever you say, you know, and it probably sounded crazy to you. Oh, okay, I mean, you're going to look for the Lord to provide for you.
Yes and no, because, I mean, my mom was very
religious. But
yes, I was like, okay.
Yeah, because, you know, I've decided I'm not going to be angry about this. I'm going to just follow what the Lord does and he provides for me and they don't. And what's interesting is shortly after that, I mean, it wasn't, but maybe 9 months after that, I actually left that team and went on my own. And it's just interesting to watch that play out, because I think for me, that was a really pivotal moment in my relationship with the Lord, because the Lord was telling me they don't provide for you. I do.
Right.
And, you know, you don't need to, you know, work hard for them to see you, because I see you and I love you. And, 100%. You know, and so that was a really pivotal moment in my walk with the Lord. But I mean, I remember telling you that and you being like, yeah, okay. And then you get like, anytime I would, you know, be complaining about work or something, and you'd be like, oh, don't worry, you know, the Lord provides for you. So you were always reassuring. But I don't think, you know, not every unequally yoked couple has that experience. Cause like, I've had conversations with women at our church and, you know, them crying and, you know, upset that they can't even get their husband to even attempt to come to church with them or attempt to hear them out and things like that. So I never had that experience with you. You were always reassuring, but I think it definitely is just such a more unique dynamic to watch it kind of play out where like, hey.
Well, yeah. Cause I mean, before it was like me making sure, cause I know how much your faith is important to you. So it was always me going, hey, fall into your faith, lean into your faith. You know, that's what helps you get through your times and so forth and so on. But it was more of a, hey, that's what you're supposed to do. Remember? That's what you're always telling me. Remember? You know, it was more of,
you were just encouraging me,
right,
with the way I believe.
Right. And but it's a complete difference when I say it, or you, like when I say it to you now. Now it's me going, no, this is what the Lord's telling me also.
Yeah.
This is what, you know, we're on the same page. We're on the same, you know, where we both wholeheartedly and completely believe that, you know, that is the case. You know, the Lord will provide, Lord will protect, Lord, you know, like the Lord is the pillar of our marriage. So,
well, and now that you're a believer too, they say, what is it that they say? They say, like, if a woman goes to church, it's, this percentage is way less.
Yeah, it's like 15% that it's the family.
Way less. But if a husband,
the man goes to church, then it's like 93% chance that the family's going to follow.
And it is interesting because as you have become a believer, I have grown. And I, you know, now I'm like, I got to read my Bible more. I got to do this more. And I've watched my walk significantly change in the last 6 months. Significantly different in just different convictions I've had and different ways of life I've changed and just different things like that. But it is just interesting. And I think more than anything, I want to encourage you that while I know that not everyone may see this, or, you know, I know that this is unique for everyone, I just want to encourage you that it will, when it happens, it's not going to be overnight, and there are things you're going to go through and attacks you're going to have, and Satan's going to want to tear up that marriage that now he knows has a stronger foothold in the kingdom. I think for me, this episode is really just, like I said, about encouragement, but maybe about reflection for us too, you know, just for us to be able to reflect on those moments that the Lord has given us, and just for us, even encouragement that, you know, Satan's going to attack us, but, you know, we just got to keep God-centered marriage and keep it going and have a little grace for the situations that we're put in.
Mm-hmm. Yes, no, absolutely. You know, because, you know, the saying is, by the grace of God, it's one of those, like, we have to have grace for each situation, grace for each other, you know. And I think that now that we are both believers, that, you know, that's a lot easier to do now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think for me, this was a good episode, and I hope that I encourage somebody, and I hope that someone, you know, gets something from it. Let's wrap it up with a prayer.
Okay, go again.
Okay.
I'll get there, I promise.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you again for this opportunity. And like I said before, if this reaches someone that needs to hear it, that's all that matters. And if not, it's good therapy for me and Chuck. Lord, I just want to thank you for the continued grace you give us. And I pray that as we face those attacks, that we're always focused on you and put you first in our marriage, Lord. And I pray for continued guidance on our marriage and anyone's marriage who's listening, Lord. And I pray that any of those facing an unequally yoked marriage can seek guidance from you, and that you can touch their marriage and lead them in the right direction. Thank you so much. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, thanks, guys. We will see you next time.